Baron Philippe de Rothschild once said, California wines are like Coca-Cola. They all taste the same. That was in the early 70s, but the taste and image of California wines have changed dramatically in recent years, and Robert Mondavi is one of the winemakers most responsible for the change. Mondavi's adoption of European winemaking techniques was groundbreaking in the early 60s, opening the way for the production of world-class wine in California. And through innovative marketing strategies like blind taste tests, Mondavi helped convince wine drinkers around the world that California wines could be as good as those from Europe. I asked Robert Mondavi why California specialized for so long in cheap, sweet jug wines.
We did not have as many of the fine varieties such as Cabernet, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and we were not aware of these fine varieties at that time as much as we are today. We knew that they produce very fine wines in Europe and particularly France, but frankly, we didn't think we were in a position to compete with them at that time. And not only that, but also at that time, there wasn't enough money to go into the fine wine business. It was a rich man's hobby to go into the fine wine business. So actually, the jug wine business was something that you could make some money. And in fact, when we went into the jug business, it was to be able to pay us to go into the fine wine business. So it was the jug wine business that allowed us to really go into the fine wine business.
What made you think that the California wine industry could put out premium wines?
Well, when I was in the beginning, I only wanted to produce fine, popular-priced wines. But when I began to taste the great wines of the world, I realized that, and I was in our business some 25 years, I realized that we had the climate, the soil, the grape varieties to produce wine belonging in the world's finest. But I did realize that they were doing something in Europe that we weren't doing in our country, so I took a trip in 1962 to see what they did in winemaking. I knew we had the natural elements. There I found that they made each of their wines differently. That is, the Cabernet, the Pinot Noir were made entirely differently from one another, the Chardonnay. And what I did when I saw that, and I saw that they were aging wines in small barrels, they were doing many different things that we weren't doing, I went back and I began to do all the research work that was necessary to prove to me what would be the best. And that, and we began to make our wines individually. That is, a Cabernet was made as a Cabernet, a Pinot Noir as a Pinot Noir, and a Chardonnay as a Chardonnay. Once we did that, there was distinct differences in our wine, and this helped catapult the fine wines of California and Napa Valley in the company of the world's finest.
Your family had a winery, and you broke away from the family winery in 1966 to start your own. What did you want to do differently than your family had done?
Well, I wanted to be able to do everything that was necessary. I was willing to spend much more money in buying new barrels, carrying on research work. I carried on tremendous amount of research work. In fact, we set up a small little winery within our winery, our larger winery. We set up a small little experimental winery where we made 50 to 100 gallons, and we experimented in detail. And little by little, we began to change our technique so we would do exactly what we did in the small winery. So if that helped us to produce wines of greater character, greater quality.
When you first started upgrading your wines, did you find that there was resistance from consumers who didn't think that California could make anything other than jug wine?
There was tremendous amount of resistance. In fact, we had people from the from the East Coast who would not want to handle wines from the fine wines of California. They wanted to only handle the wines from Europe, in other words, France, Italy, Germany. They did not consider us in the company of the fine wines of the world. But that situation over a number of years have changed. In fact, I remember when I used to sit down with people in the Midwest and the East, and I want to compare our wines with those of the first growth or second growth of Europe, the people thought I was silly. And yet I shocked them when they found out, when we would taste them blind, that our wines belonged in the company. In fact, they picked our wines up more often than they did the wines from Europe.
I'm interested in your background now. You grew up in a family that made wine. Your parents immigrated from Italy to the United States in 1910. They moved to Minnesota. You were born in 1913. And your father started shipping California grapes to Minnesota for wine. Now, who made the wine? Did your father have a winery then, or was this for Italian families to make their own wine at home?
This was only for Italian families to make their own wine. In fact, I remember making wine at home. We would take rubber boots and we would stomp on the grapes in tubs and crush them and ferment them that way. In fact, my father was selected. He was the secretary of the Italian Club in Minnesota. He was selected in 1919 to go to California to buy grapes for the people of the Midwest and people on the East Coast. And then he continued buying. In fact, after 4 years, he moved the family from Virginia, Minnesota to California because he made that his livelihood thereafter.
So you grew up in a family where wine was always being made. What was your role?
Well, not only that, but I was brought up with, as a child, I was served in teaspoons in the beginning with water, and I grew up with it.
What was your role in winemaking when you were young? Were you supposed to be stomping on the grapes or what?
No, in fact, no, that we only did during the harvest. I mean, during the crushing season, my father would make homemade wine. He'd make probably a couple of barrels of wine and for our own use, and I would stomp on it, and that's all I knew about wines, except that during from the time I was 13 years of age, I was able to drive a car and to go to work. We nailed boxes for my father, grape shipping boxes, and we did that since I was 13 years old until I graduated from high school.
Your family was in the wine business at the time of Prohibition. What effect did it have on the family?
We were not in the wine business during Prohibition. We were in the grape shipping business.
Ah, but after all, you were shipping grapes to make wine.
We were shipping grapes to families in the East Coast, the Midwest. These are mainly the Mediterranean family, the Italians, the French, the Spanish families, Italians that would buy for their home, buy grapes, and they would make homemade wine because it was legal to make wine at the home.
I see. Okay. There's a new regulation that calls for warning labels on alcoholic beverages now, warnings to pregnant women that alcohol could have a damaging effect on the fetus. I wonder what your reaction is to the warning labels.
My reaction is that they're not telling the full truth. They're only telling one side of the story. We have, yes, wine, if it's abused, is bad for you. But they don't tell you, and there are instances where it is bad. There are certain people who are allergic to wine. They should not drink it. There are people that abuse it. They should not touch it at all. But wine has many, many benefits. Wine is part of our culture, part of our religion. It's part of our way of life. And to me, I say wine is the temperate, the civilized, romantic, sacred mealtime beverage that has been recommended in the Bible. It is the liquid food that has been praised since civilization started by rulers, philosophers, physicians for life, longevity, and happiness. Now, to me, to put on the bottles only the detriment, I think it's bad because what they should do, they should educate the people both the benefits and the detriments. We need both sides of the story. Then the American people will be able to evaluate that.
How much wine would you estimate you drink a day now?
Well, you know, that I would say that I would drink a fifth of wine a day. In fact, my wife and I will go through a bottle of wine for lunch, and we'll go through a bottle of wine for dinner. And I'm 76 years old, and I say 76 years young because I eat well and I drink well, but I drink in moderation. Now, I can drink more than most people only because I'm accustomed, my system is accustomed to it. Others may not drink anywhere near as much as I can, and that should be the case.
You drink a lot because it's part of your research. I mean, you have to keep up with the competition. How do you?
No, because I like it.
Oh, okay.
And not only that, it goes with food. And not only that, but it helped me digest my food. It's really good for you in moderation.
Nevertheless, I'm sure part of the way you choose your wine has to do with figuring out who's making what and how it tastes, so you can keep up and know what your competitors are doing. How do you choose the wine that you're going to drink at lunch and dinner?
I pick what is considered, and what we carry on constant research work at the winery. We buy the finest wines in the world. And believe you me, we buy more wines than wholesalers do, I mean, of the better wines of the world. And we constantly taste these wines only to keep us abreast of what's going on. When I go out for dinner, I guess it's sort of a trademark of mine, wherever I go, I used to order 4 or 5 bottles of wine. Not that I would drink all those, but I would order just to taste, or 6 bottles of wine. I used to do that constantly, and I still do. Wherever I go, I order these different wines to keep me aware of what's going on constantly. Not only that, it reassures me of what we're doing, where our investment of money is going. How can you do that otherwise? So to me, I want to be up with the top vintners of the world, and there's a big change taking place today in winemaking. And if you don't keep that up, little by little, if you only do what you did in the past, you will lose your relative position, because there are changes taking place in winemaking. The wines are getting to be better. The grapes are getting to be better. And you have to be alert on each and every day and what's going on.
Well, Robert Mondavi, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
Been a pleasure being with you.